On today's Compassion Radio.
Along the way, this mission was born to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be the eyes, to be the smile, to live the word, and we became a more compassion-focused ministry.
Morning, friends. Well, how's your week going? I know. It's stressful and more than a little inconvenient during these days of COVID-19. I also know that there are plenty of people experiencing genuine fear and what it all might mean for them. When things look threatening and the times are trying, the most normal human thing is to withdraw. And then we read things in Scripture like Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Or consider Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. These scriptures are meant to comfort us, certainly. But they're also calls to action, as we'll discuss on today's program. If you're experiencing fear, anxiety, or worry right now, I'm glad you've tuned our way today. Antidote to fear. Is there really such a thing? And if so, do we even want it? Frankly, it's really easy to justify our own fear as being concerned in a good way, as if what we happen to be thinking about right now is how God himself feels, that he already agrees with us. And then we run up against all these fear nots in the Bible. And you know there are over 100 of them. Instead, we're commanded to fear God. From Genesis 15:1 to Revelation 14:7, we're told in emphatic terms to honor God with fear and reverence. Well, how does that apply today? Let's take a couple of minutes and unwrap some very important and often misunderstood verses from the book of James. He starts off the book of James right off the bat with a salutation to all the scattered brothers and sisters around the world. We don't often consider why they were scattered. Well, it all started with a panic and a massive persecution. James is writing family who are on the run from the threat of violence and death. You can imagine how nervous they all might be. The word our English translations all seem to use at the end of verse 1 is greetings. Friends, that doesn't even cover half of what James is trying to tell them. What he literally says is, to the 12 tribes scattered, be joying. It can also be read this way. To the 12 tribes scattered for the purpose to be rejoicing. Or like this, to the 12 tribes scattered, you continually bring me joy. Now in context, that sounds really odd to our ears. What I hear James getting across is this. I'm not thinking about the circumstances nearly as much as I'm thinking of you. And you bring me great joy. You can imagine that those receiving the letter feel much the same way about James. Then comes verse 2. In the common English we're all familiar with, it reads, Brothers, consider it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. And again, I think we truly miss so much by not digging deeper into what James is emphatically trying to get across. The literal translation is, Every joy deem ye, my brothers, whenever you're about to fall into trials of various kinds. It's actually even more awkward than that in literal English. The meaning James is after, and I'm sure of this, is more like the following. Count on joy, my dear brothers, when you can't avoid various trials and difficulties. Now, when you put those first two verses together, you get something in modern English like this. James, the one devoted to God and a slave to Master Jesus Christ, to all the families scattered abroad and who keep rejoicing nonetheless, hang on to that kind of joy, even if the trials don't let up. Just like the peace that passes understanding idea we're familiar with, James is urging his family to cling to an unreasonable joy. A God joy, especially when things seem impossible. And all this from a man who has seen some horrendous, momentous things. How can he cope when his people are murdered and persecuted mercilessly? How can he dare tell those who are hurting the most to live in joy? Well, it's because he knows Jesus. I mean, really knows him. In fact, they grew up together. The man who watched the state execute his brother is able to celebrate the Apostle Paul as he brings the gospel to the Romans and sees amazing response. James knows suffering and he knows joy because he knows Jesus. We can know those things too. And I've got to say this emphatically myself. We do not work ourselves into joy. This is an invitation into God's joy, the joy that sustained Jesus through the cross, the joy that sustains believers today all around the world when they bear crosses daily. Friend, if you're hurting, worried, anxious, or fretting today, I pray that you will ask the Lord today for the kind of joy that only He can give, and the only kind of joy that can really sustain us when the going gets tough. Would you pray with me right now about this? Father in heaven, your name is holy and worthy of worship, and we'll do that right now. We recognize that you truly are sovereign in this world, but more importantly, we honor you willingly and thank you for being our God. Lord, when the trials come and we lose sight of you, please help us to remember that you are here and you are near to the downcast and weak of heart. Thank you that you are good and have our best interest at heart. In the struggles that we face, Lord, we ask for your powerful, beautiful, and overwhelming joy. Help us to drill deep into the life-giving water of your Spirit and to drink deeply till we are satisfied with nothing else but you. Lord, help us to be a wellspring and joy for others who also need you in troubling times. In your name we pray. Amen. In our time of trial, we need to remember that we have millions of Christian family around the world who are praying for us. I know it sounds strange, but it's true because we've met them. There's not a place that we go where the joy that James describes here is not the root of their faith today. And we'll talk more about that the rest of this broadcast and again next week. I'm convinced that true compassion has real power when it's rooted in the truth of God's presence and promises. It's why that very word is in our name. Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training in theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry, these are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. You know, for 75 years, Compassion Radio partners like you have absolutely been up to the challenge. Will you help us get ready for the next big faith challenges and opportunities of 2020? Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before. It begins with you and your brave investment in kingdom communication and kingdom action. Every time we go to the front lines of faith, it inspires your faith and your giving to the Great Commission as much as it does ours. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website, CompassionRadio.com. It's available 24/7. Our safe and secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. Of course, you can also put a stamp on an envelope and mail your gift to our Compassion Radio office, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way. We're going to pivot now to a discussion that Cher and I had looking back on how Compassion Radio became Compassion Radio. Cher, it's a pleasure to see you across the table from me today.
Nice to be in the same place with you.
It's always easier to have a great conversation when you have a smiling face right across from you, too.
And eye to eye, absolutely. I love it.
Well, it's come to my attention that we need to be revisiting a couple of key questions here at Compassion Radio. people have been asking us, why do we do what we do? And of course, you expect people to kind of buy into it early and understand. But we have new people coming to the program all the time. So we need to be making an effort at least every few months or so to take some time out to talk about why we do what we do.
That is always difficult because we feel like if we say the same thing over and over again, that the people who've been with us for years and years are going, we know already. Yeah. But at the same time, as our stations grow, as new stations are added, we do have to go back and let people know where we came from, why we came the direction that we did, and how it's going.
And God willing, more people are listening to the stations that we are currently on. So we'll take a minute out to talk about, again, what Compassion Radio really is. Right. And we talk about it being unusual radio and that we're not just another teaching program, although we are often grouped with some great Bible teachers mm-hmm. on the dial every day. We don't exactly approach the Christian life from the perspective of personal devotion and Bible study. It's much more about a Bible application in real-life situation that we dedicate ourselves to describing every day.
Well, let me take people back to the very beginning. Now, some of you have been with us since way back at the beginning when the program was hosted by Norm's father, Wilbur Nelson. At that time, it was called the Morning Chapel Hour. It began on one station in Los Angeles for 15 minutes and eventually evolved into a half-hour broadcast nationwide. And Norm at that time was in grade school, junior high school, then on to college. He shared the mic with his father when he was very young and then periodically as he would come home from college. But he always worked for the ministry in finding the little anecdotes and stories that his father read on the air. When it was Wilbur's, it was very much songs and thoughts mm-hmm. that touched the heart was the byline for the program then. It was very morning devotional, just a pleasant way to get your thoughts centered on the Lord and enjoy some incredible music. And he was really a forerunner in good evangelical gospel music.
Yeah. And it was a multimedia experience when many radio ministries were either just all talk or mm-hmm. just a music variety program from the stage.
Even music programs weren't that common on radio.
Yeah, and it was more of an intimate, you're in the room together with mm-hmm. these musicians and with these people discussing what it means to live a devoted and committed Christian life. And it endeared people to this kind of close, almost like having your own personal pastor.
Mm-hmm. Well, then when Norm was brought on finally after finishing college, finishing seminary, finishing a doctorate, going into pastoral ministry and campus chaplainship, he finally came back to the program and Wilbur began to give him a day. First, I think he started out on Fridays that were all his day. And that began to increase. Then he had 2 days, then he had three. But he was not real satisfied to try to keep it to that songs and thoughts concept. And so he persuaded his dad to let him do what the Lord wanted him to say, more of a teaching, more of a sermon on his days. And people loved it.
Yeah. And again, stylistically, it was very different than a pulpit kind of ministry.
Very different.
And he had been in the pulpit for many years, so he understood what the communication is like from stage to a large group of people. He also watched his dad for many, many years connect with people very close and intimately over the airwaves, as if we were sitting in the car together having a drive.
Mm-hmm.
So he understood both idioms, and he was very proficient in both places. But he carved a new path, the way he would talk with real sincerity and devotion and energy and passion about things that people connect with.
That's right. He had the concept of sitting across the kitchen table, just pouring out his heart of what the Lord had him thinking about at that time. And without ever saying that on the air, he began to get the letters back. Like, I feel like you're just sitting across the table having a cup of coffee with me and teaching me things, which was exactly the feeling that he wanted to create.
Yeah.
And when Wilbur finally stepped down almost completely, he was doing Saturday programs. Norm began to teach then in series because he was on every day. Well, because of Wilbur's ministry, he had sponsored some compassion projects around the world without calling them that. But one of the things that Morning Chapel Hour had done was to build and fund an orphanage in Hong Kong for so many of the abandoned children when the flood of refugees was coming out of mainland China into Hong Kong. There were so many children abandoned on the streets, either had been separated accidentally from their family or had been brought across the border believing that their children could find a better life there, and the parents were not able to get out. So they built this orphanage and funded it for many years. And then Wilbur was also invited to come to Korea, and after speaking there several times, he discovered this wonderful Christian girls' school called Isabel School. And in speaking there to the hundreds of girls that were students there, discovered that they had no place to meet for chapel. They had to sit out on the playground, on the cold or hot cement, cross-legged, and listen. And he just said, these girls have to have an auditorium. He discovered also that they were incredibly musical and they needed a place to be able to have recitals and programs. So he funded, through our listeners, and built the Wilbur Nelson Memorial Auditorium at Isabel School. Well, as it happened, right at this time when Norm had taken over, he was doing this teaching, we were invited to come for the 25th anniversary of Isabel School and the 35th anniversary of the orphanage, which coincided in the same month. Norm had done much mission work in Central America, but he had never been to Asia and had never really had an Asian burden on his heart. But when we went to Korea and we went to Hong Kong, Norm became obsessed with seeing the church in China. And he pulled every string he possibly could while we were there to just get across the border and meet with any Chinese Christian. But for that time, God said no.
That's frustrating.
It is when you have such good reasons for wanting the Lord to open a door for you, and he says, huh. On the way home from there, having listened to the stories that we heard about the Chinese Christians and their incredible devotion, their totally different way of thinking, their totally different way of reading the Bible as though it really applied and we were really supposed to pay attention to it.
As if it was a contemporary document.
Norm started to talk about, we need to do something different. And his point was that people can listen to Christian radio 24 hours a day and hear and hear and hear and be fed and fed and fed. He said, we need to be the voice of getting people to do something with all that they're hearing, the way the Chinese church does. We need to get people to stop living the good life and live life at its best. A life at its best has nothing to do with economics or politics or anything else. It has to do with loving and serving the Almighty God in everything that we do, everything that we think, every way that we act, giving ourselves completely to Him and doing crazy things that we wouldn't have the nerve to do without Him is really the best life. Yeah. So the first thing that happened was we changed the name of the broadcast to Life at Its Best. It took a lot of explaining. We got a whole lot of letters, no matter how much explanation we gave.
The language sounds more like a prosperity gospel approach
does.
To things. And we were actually talking about a certain kind of prosperity.
And he was preaching about it every day, or at least teaching about it every day on the radio, trying to get the concept through. And finally, it began to take shape, and people began to get the idea. Well, to back up a little bit, when we got home from that trip where he was disappointed about not getting into China, on his desk was an invitation from an organization saying, we would like to take you to China, all expenses paid, and have you learn about and talk about the church in China and raise funds for Bibles for China. Well, the ministry and we would have had to pay for the trip. Otherwise, here it is, God dumping it in our lap, saying, you want to go for free? And you want to go more places than you would have known to go and meet people that you never would have known about to
meet? People who know what they're doing.
And so
it's always helpful to have a good and well-experienced guide.
And boy, did we ever. So within that year, we were able to go to China, and Norm's heart was absolutely torn apart by what he saw. This was first century Christianity at its best.
And when we say torn apart, we're not saying in a negative sense.
Oh, no.
It was deconstructing all of our preconceptions, but also realizing that once all the other stuff is stripped away, it's like, yes, this is it. This is the kind of Christianity that I've aspired to or had a nugget of in my heart for many, many years. I'm seeing it lived out in real time with real people in my century.
Yeah, he felt like it was the first century church that he was witnessing, the way they were approaching the scripture, the way they were living their lives, and he just totally lost his heart to both proclaiming the gospel in new places and not just preaching to the American church, because there are plenty of people to do that, but to be mission-focused, to get the word around the world in any way we could, through anybody that we could. Along the way, this mission was born to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be the eyes, to be the smile, to live the word, and to take people with us. We wanted to get them up off their couches where they were listening and take them to the field and get them doing. If they couldn't do that, they could support the people that could go. And we became a more compassion-focused ministry. We began to find, well, the first project that we did, of course, was Bibles for China. And you who have been with us a long time know how incredibly beautifully you responded to that.
Yeah. And they still do, because there's still new Christians, and the numbers still hold up that for every Bible that ends up in a hand of a believer, around 5 new believers come out of each printing of each Bible. So
every time we do it, the need grows exponentially. There's no catching up.
Printing a Bible is kind of like minting heaven. I mean, actually creating new believers by every press of that lever.
Exactly right. Well, one of the projects that we did early on was getting help into a refugee camp in the Middle East.
Mm. This is well before the major outflow of refugees from Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was actually in Palestine. We were with World Vision. They were showing us the need, and we bought supplies in Jerusalem and took them to the camps where the need was so incredibly great. It was an imam that World Vision had been witnessing to who accepted the relief that we brought. And Tom Getman, who was with World Vision in Israel at that time, was trying to explain to this imam why some Americans who were on the radio would come over there and buy them food. What was the connection? And that our name was Life at Its Best, which did not translate well for them at all. And through the conversation, as Tom tried and tried to explain to this dear man, he finally lit up and said, "Oh, it's a compassion radio." And Tom looked at Norm, and Norm looked at me, and Norm said, "That's it." Yeah. And we came home and changed the name again. Now, this is death to a radio program.
Oh, it
always
is.
You don't go around changing names. You don't go around changing themes. You don't change anything. But he felt absolutely called to do it, and that is why we are now Compassion Radio.
And have been now for almost, 30 years?
Yeah. But it grew to where Norm's focus, Norm's heart was for bringing the stories of the church around the world that the American church is terribly unaware of. Yeah. We have so many brothers and sisters. We have so many hacked off hands and feet to the Christian body. We don't feel the pain. We don't know the stories. We need to bleed. But it's more than just feeling sorry for them and hurting for them. What can we do? And that was Norm's focus. How can we go? What can we do? We can't do a whole lot. We're a small ministry. But as Norm said, we can do as much as we can do, and we're required to do so, and we will praise God for whatever we can do.
And the kind of reporting that we've been doing now for almost 30 years requires us to be aware of real needs and real suffering. We can't go there and report a story and ignore it at the same time. And we're not reporting about stories that are easy. Sometimes it's a great victory story of how the kingdom of God has triumphed, but it's usually a triumph over difficult circumstances, or how they're rising to the level of heaven in the middle of some really unbelievable trying times.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go the easy places, and I don't think we ever will. I don't think we want to. There are plenty of people that can cover those news stories. But something I'm learning about the way we do this reporting is that we're not just a news agency.
Right.
And we're not just a teaching ministry. What I'm finding out with my travels now is that we go there so that the world church can teach us.
Yes, exactly.
And as we report the story, the real story behind the story comes out. You learn from the lives of the people that we talk to. They speak directly to our Compassion Radio listeners. So I've learned to try to get out of the way when people are telling their stories. The power of their testimony has real lasting power. And I think about Revelation chapter 9, how the faithful overcame the evil one by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Those two things together are unstoppable when it comes to building the kingdom of God. So we don't need to be telling you what the story is. We need to be bringing to you the story. And it's a very different thing. So if I can bring a new friend, like James Lagos, we got reintroduced in Uganda, or any of the people that Jim Jennings will be introducing me to over the next few months in the Middle East, as we bring them to you, listen to them, not just what we have to say about them.
That's the thing. We want to bring a friend. We want to bring a brother and sister to you to tell you their story. There's a little quotation that Norm used all the time that explained for him what we did, and that was being in the ministry of showing up. What that means is being the visible, touchable body of Christ to people, to say we're here because we know that you're suffering. It's important for people to know that someone, somewhere, really knows, really cares that they are suffering, someone that really knows their desperation and is going to do something about it. Now, there are a great many media organizations that come through to grab the story when the headlines are hot.
Right.
They come in, they talk to people, they go away. Nothing ever happens. Nothing ever changes. We went to tell them, we're not just here to hear your story. We want to know what you want us to know. But we're here representing hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people who listen, and we're going to tell your story to them, and we're going to ask them to help you. Now, we don't know what physical things that's going to mean, but we're not just here so that we can make programs back home. We're here because you're our brothers and sisters, and we want you to be connected with your family back home.
Tune in for the rest of this conversation on next week's Compassion Radio. Thanks for supporting us with your gift today. Simply go to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. You can also send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you, friends. Join us for the next Compassion Radio or online at CompassionRadio.com.